is not present. Apparently there was a phone call, and we were told that first that they believed she was on her way here. The second phone call, or the second time we spoke to the office, they called us, said she's in Eastland County at a settlement hearing, and says she didn't get notice of the oral argument. The notice went out at least 21 days ago. She asked us to reschedule. The court is not going to reschedule, and we have given counsel for Appalee the opportunity to make any statement to the court he would like to make, to summarize his position, and if we have questions, we'll ask questions, but we are not going to reschedule.
May it please the court, Justice Duffino and Justice Walker and Justice
Sutter. I forgot to introduce us. I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's quite all right. It's a pleasure being here, and I appreciate the court allowing oral arguments on this. This is a case of a divorce decree that was an agreed divorce decree that was entered into in 2007, and that decree contained a clause for maintenance. It's called contractual maintenance in the decree. Within the decree, it has an amount, and this was done in 2006, 2007. The amount capped by Chapter 8 at the time is $2,500. The amount in the decree was $3,000. There was no duration in terms of the termination or reduction in the amount was by the usual death by either party, the remarriage of the ex-wife, the cohabitation of the ex-wife, and then a reduction was allowed in there based upon whenever the ex-wife would start receiving part of her pension. When she was eligible and she actually started receiving her pension, there would be a dollar for dollar reduction from the amount of the court ordered, or the contractual maintenance rather, at the time. So it started out as $3,000. Those were the terms of the agreement. Given that alone, based on Lee versus Lee, which this court put forth, and Justice Stefano, you wrote the opinion earlier this year, in February of this year, it carries forth the contractual nature of such a document when it's an agreed decree. It states at the front that it's an agreed decree. The parties enter into it to be treated like a contract. The terms are clearly outside of what statutory requirements would be at the time. There was no litany of requirements for eligibility that were stated in the decree. The duration and the amount of payments were totally different. And this court in Lee established that if it's not falling within the purview of Chapter 8, if it doesn't meet those guidelines, and the court isn't the one who is considered and given those terms of the clause, then that is to be treated as contractual maintenance. That's what we believe it is contractual maintenance. My client thought that it was contractual maintenance at the time that she entered into it. In the trial court, the trial court entertained testimony from my client, from the appellant, as to what happened at the time of the decree. We even brought in the attorney who drafted, Jeanette Baldwin, who was the attorney who drafted the decree at the time that it was entered. And
so if it's contractual maintenance, then it's just binding for forever?
Whatever the terms of the agreement are, Your Honor. That's what they entered into. Those were the terms that they agreed to were correct at the time.
And they agreed that it could be modified by the court?
They agreed that it could be modified by the court if there was going to be a finding of one of the provisions of either termination or reduction.
Is that what the decree says?
Well, in the decree, it states, number one, that it could be terminated of kind of the usual things. First is the death. The second would be the remarriage of. The third would be the cohabitation. Within that cohabitation clause, it says, until further orders of the court.
It's actually the reverse. It says, by further orders of the court, including cohabitation.
That's right, Your Honor. And so it says that in that third point there, that until further orders of the court, including cohabitation.
Not excluding anything else, but including cohabitation.
And that certainly could be one read of it. The trial court found that term could be ambiguous. So it asked us to present testimony and evidence as to what did that term mean? What did until further orders of the court mean? And the trial court determined, and I believe that that's correct, that phrase, until further orders of the court, including cohabitation, but until further orders of the court, if the court was going to look at anything to modify, it would be within those four things that were identified within that clause. It didn't relate to anything else. It didn't relate to whether or not the appellant lost his job. It didn't relate to any other condition in there except those that were stated in there. The court couldn't supply extra terms or extra reasons as to why you could terminate. It could only stick with what was in there. And so the court, I believe, read that correctly to give harmony and to give meaning to the document, that those were the items and only the items that the court could look to be able to either terminate or reduce, to modify that agreement.
How do you reconcile that the contractual maintenance paragraph in the decree on page 6 actually cites Family Code Chapter 8?
Well, I've seen that it's common that in drafting these clauses that it's very similar language to what the statute has adopted. We've been doing contractual maintenance for a lot longer than we've been doing spousal maintenance under Chapter 8. And so I think that though the Chapter 8 language was adopted from the contractual maintenance language that we've been using for years, and I think that those just kind of became synonymous. Why? I don't know. I think that
Well, isn't that pretty pivotal to your argument? Because if it's spousal support under Chapter 8, then it can clearly be modified by the trial court, correct? And your position is that if it's contractual maintenance, it cannot be.
Not pivotal to my argument, Your Honor, because the terms of it are clearly outside of Chapter 8. It doesn't state, it states at the heading in terms of being contractual maintenance. It doesn't state that it's spousal maintenance under Chapter 8 any place in there, but it does follow the language of that. It doesn't go through the litany of eligibility requirements.
Well, it kind of glums them all together because it says the parties have further agreed that Teresa Waldrop shall have all the rights and remedies afforded under the Texas Family Code Chapter 8.
One of the reasons in doing that is because there was an enforcement order that was provided in there and allowed them to have an enforcement order entered by the court and submitted to the employer on the basis of that of the withholding. So that's why it ties that together. Was it perfect drafting? No.
Hardly ever is, right?
Yeah, that's right. And at the time, I mean, spousal maintenance, Chapter 8 is still relatively new, even, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when this was done. I think there's still a lot of confusion. I think that, and I'm saying I think a lot, instead of giving you authority for that, but in terms of of what this court has said in terms of looking at it, it's not dispositive that it would say that it's under Chapter 8. It would be dispositive as to what the terms of the agreement are because they entered into it as an agreed decree. The court didn't find those things and didn't consider those things. They agreed to those things. And in Lee, which bounced off of the Dallas case and the Austin case of Key and McCullough, put forth that what's in the decree, what the terms of that clause are more controlling than what necessarily it would say about Chapter 8. So in terms of it being contractual, I would submit that it ought to be considered contractual based on what the line of law has been established by this court. And in terms of the ambiguity, I think the ambiguity was cleared of any term, if it would have been ambiguous, to mean a certain thing. And I think the trial court hit it right that it was only for those things that were listed in 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the decree, whether it was a remarriage, death, cohabitation, or a reduction because of the pension. In fact, the court did find a reduction in the court. The court did find a reduction in the amount of monthly payments because of the institution of the pension amounts. So I would ask this court, I pray that this court affirms the judgment in whole from this case. And with that, if you have any questions, otherwise I would certainly yield back my time to the court.
All right, thank you very much. We appreciate your argument. Your case is submitted, and you're free to go about your business.
Thank you, Your Honor.